This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Boise State athletics isn't a stranger to dramatic moments that make history. Think back to the 2007 Fiesta Bowl and the Broncos' win over Oklahoma in overtime. Well, guess what? Just a week ago today, history was made once again at Boise State University when the Bronco women's basketball team took home its historic fourth straight Mountain West title in a nail-biter of a game that went to overtime. And now the Broncos wait until March 16th to find out its first-round NCAA tournament opponent and destination. The Idaho Statesman's Rachel Roberts has been covering this incredible season, and she is joining us live in studio with more. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Okay, so for folks who don't follow the team, tell us a little bit about this basketball team.
It's a pretty storied group. There are actually six seniors on the team currently who have been a part of four straight tournament championships, and then they also won three regular season championships. They've been to the NCAA tournament now. This is going to be their fourth straight time, seventh overall in program history. They're just a gritty group that doesn't like anything but winning, and they do everything they can to get there.
And talk about the coach as well, because, I mean, I think sometimes, unfortunately, women's sports gets overshadowed by men's sports. And as you said, I mean, this is a pretty incredible team and a coach.
Yes, I would argue that Gordy Presnell may be the most successful coach at Boise State University right now. He's got an incredible winning percentage. He is, you know, I mean, four straight tournament titles is unheard of. I mean, that's a really difficult thing to do. And he's regularly recruiting some of the most talented players in the country.
So, and that's part of it, right? I mean, that when you have the cash, you know, to, and I'm not talking money, but I'm talking the ability, because of your record, to go and recruit great players, that makes a difference.
It does. You know, a few years ago, Jade LaVille, who is now a sophomore, she was the second leading scorer as a high school player in the country. When he recruited her, she was averaging more than 30 points a game, and Boise State got her because I think the kids come in and they see how talented the group is and kind of just the tradition that's been passed down of working hard and attaining what you want.
So you were at the game last Correct. Wednesday. Okay, so take us back to the game, because this, I mean, first off, we're going into the fact that they won three consecutive championships, right? So there's a lot riding on their shoulders to begin with. Take the NCAA tournament out of the picture.
Correct. You know, the Mountain West tournament is a pretty huge challenge because for the most part, the Mountain West teams aren't ranked. So you're not going to get a at-large bid to the NCAA tournament. So it's either you win or you go home. You might be able to get to play in the NIT, but I mean, coming into this game, Boise State knew they were either going to have to win this tournament or they weren't going to play in a four straight, you know, NCAA tournament game. So there was a lot of pressure to begin with, but they actually weren't the favorite this time.
Right. Okay, so talk about that.
So they were the number two seed. Fresno State came in. They only played Fresno State once during the regular season and lost to them after having like a pretty big lead. And then they ended up kind of losing it at home in the final minutes. So Fresno State was the favorite. They'd only lost, I believe, two conference games coming in. They ended up facing Fresno State in that championship game. And it, of course, as you said, went to overtime. There was a little bit of a controversial call from some people that said, was there a timeout called? Was there not a timeout called on Fresno State's part? But to me, Boise State locked it up at the free throw line at the end and did what they needed to do.
And so ultimately, talk about that kind of controversial call, because they're at the free throw line. So even if that call had been a timeout, I mean, would it have mattered?
Well, it was tricky. So what happened was it was on, so Boise State was on the defensive end. They were trying to rebound the ball and kind of close out the game. And Fresno State ended up getting the rebound, and a girl put up, like, you know, probably a 5-foot shot, and it went in. Mm. But just before that, somebody had called a timeout. So the official acknowledged the timeout. They were also looking at the video screen to see if the girl that rebounded the ball had stepped out of bounds. So they were analyzing all of these things, you know, play stop for at least 5 minutes as they're looking at all this. Ultimately, the head official released a statement after the game and said that she was 100% sure she heard an audible, you know, timeout on the court. She acknowledged that. They checked the video. There wasn't anybody stepping out of bounds, so it was Boise State ball because Fresno State didn't have any more timeouts.
Oh, so
yeah, sorry, I forgot that.
No,
most
no,
important
but that's
part there.
But that's fascinating, right?
Correct.
Okay, so they go on to win. So now that lands them in the NCAA tournament.
Yes.
But they have to wait, right?
Yes, it's more. It's like a week and a half of torture to find out, you know, who you're going to be playing and where you're going to be playing. You know, the latest projections by Charlie Cream, who does them on ESPNW, mm-hmm. has them as a number 13 seed playing at number 4 Gonzaga.
Oh.
Yeah, so it wouldn't be an easy challenge. Boise State would love to get a 12 seed, which means that you get to play a team on a neutral court. But that hasn't been, you know, their RPI last year was 39. Their RPI this year, when I looked it up last night, was 80. So, and that's basically measuring the strength of your schedule and your wins and losses. Mm-hmm. So the lower that number is, the better technically your team is. So I would be surprised if they were able to get a 12. I would guess that probably a 13 seed is pretty accurate, and they're going to have to face, you know, a ranked team on their home court and to try and get that first win in program history in the NCAA tournament.
Okay, so let's go back to that. Even though this will be the fourth appearance in the
seventh overall, but fourth straight for this team. So this will be the seventh time, but they've never won. They've always lost in the opening round.
So what do you think their chances are?
It depends on who they get.
Okay.
I think that Gonzaga, should they get Gonzaga, I mean, they have a chance against Gonzaga. Gonzaga lost its leading scorer earlier this season. They were at the same regional with Gonzaga last year, and Gonzaga ended up losing to the same team they did in the second round, which was Oregon State. And Boise State took Oregon State to overtime, and Gonzaga did not. So I think you could argue that the Boise State has a chance, especially with the talented group of seniors that they have and kind of just that will to win.
Well, and you're always looking for a good Cinderella story, right?
For sure. I think so.
And so have you talked to any of the players or the coaches? I mean, I know you talked to them on game day, but since then, I mean, how are they feeling about going into the NCAA tournament, even though they're, you know, in flux waiting to find out?
Right. I think that those ladies are really excited to be there again. I know that they felt like they let a win last year slip through their hands when they lost to Oregon State in overtime because they were leading in regulation by about 4 points, and then it just slipped out of their hands. So I do believe that these ladies are determined to make sure that they make a little bit more history before mm-hmm. before they walk away from that program.
So when it happens on March 16th, and what is it, 5 p.m. or something like that?
Yes, I believe it's 5 p.m. on ESPN.
And so if they're the 13th seed, as you said, I mean, the likelihood is Gonzaga, but any other ideas of who they could play if they're in that?
Yeah, so I've seen a couple of other projections. It changes as all these other conference tournaments are going on. But, you know, I would guess a 13 seed. I've also seen them as a 13 at Arizona. So they play in Tucson. I would be surprised if they went to number 1 Oregon, because that would mean they were a 16 seed. I don't think they're going to be a 16 seed. You know, they could be a 15 and go to Stanford, but I would think they're more in the 13 range. I would be surprised if it went much, you know, I guess higher in that case than that. Number 3 UCLA is probably, you know, another destination. They like to keep, you know, West teams in the West to kind of mm-hmm. start. And it's common in women's NCAA tournament to have those top seeds host the first.
Because that's different than men's.
It's different than men's basketball.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, it's not fair. But it's kind of catered towards getting a larger crowd and, you know, more fans mm-hmm. in the seats.
So who do you think they have the best chance against going into that first game?
If they draw Gonzaga, I really like that matchup. I, without a doubt, think that that's probably their best bet. And that would be played in Spokane. A lot of the ladies are from Washington, so it kind of might have a more of a hometown feel, get a few more people mm-hmm. there to root them on. So I would definitely think that would be the best matchup.
Well, and easier for Bronco fans to get
right,
there, too.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, you can drive if you have to. So let's talk about next year. I mean, no matter what happens this year, they're losing 6 seniors.
Yes. It's kind of daunting, you know, as from an outsider's perspective, thinking, oh my gosh, they're going to have to replace an entire starting lineup. And they're bringing in 7 freshmen. So, you know, it's going to be a huge change. But one of the things that especially the senior group has talked about quite a bit is the fact that they like to pass down the tradition of how they do things and the work ethic and the attitude. And I think that those ladies have instilled in some of the underclassmen right now, you know, that mm-hmm. that drive to do well and to perform.
But these 7 freshmen that are coming in will not get that. Those 6 seniors will be gone by the time they come
correct,
on the court.
Correct, which is why the current underclassmen are supposed to know to pass that down. Marta Ermeda, who graduated last year, told me that on the first day that she went to weights when she was a freshman, she found out that if she wasn't 10 minutes early, she was late. And that was the first day. So I think those freshmen are going to probably be caught up pretty quick.
And any freshmen that we should be looking at next year?
Well, they have a slew of very good ones. Right. It would be hard to pick just one. I know that there's a Elodie Lalotte, I believe is how you pronounce her name. She's tall. She's powerful. She's from a prep school. And she's from France. So
oh wow,
yeah, a little bit, you know, oh, a little foreign talent. I would look for her. But there's, I mean, like I said, all seven of those girls are good.
Yeah,
this is a strong class.
So March 16th is when they find out, and then what day would they potentially play, or has that been set yet?
So I think the first round games can start as early as that following Friday. It might be Saturday, Sunday. I can't remember off the top of my head. But, yeah, it would be that weekend. So, I mean, they have to turn it around. I mean, all of a sudden you're getting flights. You're getting game plans together. It's a quick turnaround.
Well, and I am so thankful that you came in to talk about this because, like I said in the beginning of our conversation, so many times women's sports really does take a back seat, and even when they are one of the winningest teams.
Right. It is crazy to me sometimes because we track page views so much now, you know, as an industry. And it's like, you know, not to take anything away from the men's team, but sometimes there's been the men will lose a game and that story gets more page views than the women winning the championship. And I'm like, why aren't more people excited about this? This is an awesome team. So
and people should be more excited about it. Right.
Be.
Yeah. I want to thank you so much for coming in. You will be covering their NCAA game.
I will, without a doubt.
Yeah. Yes. We've been talking with Rachel Roberts, who covers the women's basketball team at Boise State University. She works for the Idaho Statesman, a sports reporter there. We will know more about where and who the Bronco women will play in the NCAA tournament come March 16th. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Up next, learning challenges through the eyes of a child who deals with it every day. I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters.